Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today? Feeling good? Well rested? Extra hour of sleep? I see no one showed up early, right? No one made that mistake. I'm wondering what age it is that kids start adjusting with you to daylight savings time and they just like enjoy that extra hour. About 30. Okay. So, you know, when our son woke up at 5 this morning, ready to go. God bless him. Ooh. So, okay, give me hope for another 29 years. Thank you, David. Well, we are so glad that our kids are with us this morning in worship. I want to go ahead and release them now to Revolution Kids. This is for kids age K through fifth grade. This is an optional time together where they go, they worship together, they have a lesson, they just have a great time. And today, they will actually be rejoining us toward the end of the service to celebrate communion down here with us. They usually take it upstairs, but once a month, we invite them to come. And there is a great group today. I love it. Have a great time, kids. All right. So you might not know this yet about us, me, mostly my husband, Matt, but he loves to run. In fact, right? Yeah, I see some faces over here. Sorry, Matt. In fact, he's been running since the fourth grade, cross country and track, and ran all the way through college at Western Kentucky University. And since he's graduated, he's taken on marathons. Six? Seven now? Eight. Oh, I'm sorry. He's run eight marathons. Not since we've had Logan, but we'll still run marathons in the future, I'm sure. He's run eight marathons now, run the Boston Marathon twice. Yeah, I'm proud of you. I didn't tell him I was going to brag on him this morning, but that's fine. But I love, he ran the Boston Marathon 2016, first time, right? First time running in 2016. I made the trip with him. And I love hearing him talk about this marathon. Now, you might be familiar with it, but it is a historic race. It's a holiday for Boston called Patriots Day. Kind of all of Boston and the surrounding communities take the day off and they show up, they turn out for this race. Nearly 30,000 people compete in this race. I read 500,000 spectators. 500,000 spectators come out for this race. It's historic, it's huge. You have to qualify to compete, to run in it. Matt says it's the only marathon he has ever run where there is a solid wall of spectators on both sides of the course for the whole 26.2 miles. In fact, the first time he ran it, I should just have him. The first time he ran it, he decided to slow down just so he could take it all in, this sort of atmosphere. He's pretty fast, and he started right behind the elite runners that, you know, they're focused. They're not slowing down for anything. They're going. And he says he saw one little kid, you know, kind of stick his hand out on the side, waiting for someone to give him a high five. But all these intense runners, they're just going. So he decided around that moment, what, mile six or seven, that he was going to slow down and just sort of, this was unlike any race he'd ever run, and he just wanted to soak in this atmosphere. And so he gave the kid a high five. And promptly about 50 more hands popped out, right? Because this was the first runner these kids had seen that were actually going to take the time to high five them. But I love hearing him talk about this race. There's a really historic part around miles 12 to 13 where the course goes by Wellesley College. It's known as the Scream Tunnel. And it's because students from the college turn out and they scream and they cheer. They hold up signs, high fives, hugs for hours. It is known as the unbroken wall of sound that you can hear as you approach. You can hear it for probably a good ways before you approach this part of the course. Unbroken for the duration of the race, it says. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Matt, that atmosphere, the support. He says it made that tough, hilly course seem just a bit more possible. There he is at the end of it. Look, my smoking hot husband, huh? So proud of him. And here he is at the end of the Boston Marathon. But, you know, it was actually a powerful experience for me as well. I stood at the end, Copley Square, right, at the end, at the finish line for over 4 hours. Not because it took him that long, but because you show up that early and you wait and you watch. And I got to bear witness to thousands of people crossing that finish line. We were standing five or six people deep, you know, shoulder to shoulder with strangers, and I got to bear witness to thousands of people accomplishing their goal. Months of training, all of this hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears of that race. And it just brings tears to your eyes as you watch people cross that finish line. You know, there's something about being surrounded by that kind of support and encouragement while running a race. And it's an image that we're not surprised then that we even see in Scripture, a metaphor for faith about running the race of faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." I love that part. Consider him who endured, so that you might not grow weary. Today, the Universal Church celebrates All Saints' Day. And this is a tradition in the life of the global church where we celebrate the great cloud of witnesses of those who have gone before us, those who have set the example of the faith and who still inform and encourage us in our own faith today. We confessed just in the Apostles' Creed this morning that we believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the communion of saints. And this is the gathering of the saints from all times and places, stretching back from the early church, those first believers, the apostles, to maybe the more well-known famous ones, those who've officially been canonized in the Catholic Church, all the way to today, maybe our everyday saints, to people who we personally knew, who impacted and informed our faith. Maybe a parent or a grandmother, a grandfather, a friend, a mentor. Right, all the way to people that we knew who have gone before us, who have passed away, maybe even from this community of faith in the last year. This is a day that we set aside to mark, to celebrate those witnesses, the witnesses of the Universal Church down to our very personal lives and community of faith. And we give thanks to God for their lives, for their faith, and for the way that their love still impacts us today. Like the great crowd at the Boston Marathon, we are surrounded on all sides by witnesses and testimony, encouragement, and love. But unlike the Boston Marathon, the witnesses that surround us have actually run the race of faith. I have never run a marathon. I have no plans of ever running a marathon that is 26.2 miles long. And yet, I stood there with 500,000 of my closest friends, and we bore witness to that race. That was a powerful experience, and yet most of us watching had probably never run that race. So imagine how much more powerful our spectators are, that they have run this race of faith, that they have finished it well, that they have received that glory and now surround us. These are not just mere spectators like at an actual marathon. Our cheering section is full of the faithful who surround us with support and wisdom and say to us now, you can do it too. You can do it too. I love this quote from Common Prayer. It's a book of prayer called A Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals. It says, however hard it might seem to follow the way of Jesus in our own time and place, this is a day to remember that we may be crazy, but we are not alone. It's comforting, right? This is a day to remember that we may be crazy, but we are not alone. I don't have to tell you here today that living the life of faith is not easy. You know that. This is a hard race that we are in, full of some steep hills and some potholes and maybe a detour here and there. choosing love and grace and mercy, seeking justice for our neighbor, walking humbly with God in all seasons is not simple or convenient. No, this is a hard race. And running it takes practice. It takes falling down and receiving the grace to get back up. It takes perseverance to keep going. Some days, you might feel it might be easier to just not run this race at all. I would rather not pick up that cross. I'd rather not deny myself, but rather live for my own needs, my own desires and wants, not care about the needs of my neighbor. That is the easy, convenient way. Some days that seems like the easier race. It is. To avoid the struggles, to avoid the hardship. But I know because of the love of God, through Jesus Christ, my Savior, through the new life that I have experienced in him, that the glory awaiting me among the company of heaven is nothing compared to the struggles that I might go through today. Other way around, the struggles that I go through today are worth what's awaiting for me in Christ Jesus. Another fellow pastor, Joe Kay, says it this way. Death doesn't end our involvement in the kingdom of God. It merely transforms it. We can take reassurance and courage from knowing that those loving and prophetic people, the saints that we celebrate, still march with us and work with us. They still guide us and lead us forward. And when each of us moves on, we will remain part of the struggle too. This is an amazing part about the witness and testimony of the saints, those who dedicated their lives to following Jesus and loving people, those who may have suffered and been martyred even for their faith, that somehow they still struggle with us today. Somehow they still march with us. Because death does not separate us from the kingdom of God and how we participate in it now. No, it just transforms our participation in the kingdom of God. Those loving and prophetic people are still marching with us. Or as we might read about it in Scripture, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So I'd like to think that for those who share in the love of God, nothing can separate us from their love either. Not even their own death. But we are still bound together by the love of God, by those living and dead, among those who have gone before us. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight of every sin that clings to us, that trips us up. Let us confess those sins that get in the way. Let us throw them at the feet of Jesus so that we can keep running our race with perseverance. So how do we do this? Going back to the scripture, it says we do this by looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You might, and also in other translations, you might heard it as that author, the perfecter of our faith. I love this translation that says pioneer. The Greek word here is archegos, pioneer, or a pathbreaker. I like thinking of Jesus as the one that goes before, the great trailblazer, the one that goes before us and opens up a way where there wasn't a way before so that others might follow after him, the first one to go and finish the race in glory with God, who now waits for us at the end. Scripture says at the right hand of God as the prince and ruler, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Scripture says he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. He's waiting for us at the end there. We keep our eyes focused, zeroed in on him, the one who paved the way. The one who paved the way. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, being encouraged by the saints that have made it and surround us and cheer us on. We keep going. We keep going. Consider him who endured, our passage says. Consider him who endured such hostility so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Jesus is that example of endurance. Along with the witnesses of the saints, those who have also endured living this life of faith, walking the same earth, for the sake of the cross, for the sake of salvation, consider him who endured so that we might not grow weary. Let us keep going. On October 12th, a pretty amazing thing happened. Kind of continuing this with this marathon conversation. Does anyone know what happened on October 12th? World record marathon. Yes, under 2 hours. In the first service, someone had a birthday on October 12th, so we celebrated that. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. On October 12th, Eliud Kipchoge became the first human to complete a marathon in under 2 hours. 2 hours. He ran it, as you can see, in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. He had 20 seconds to spare. That is averaging a pace of 4 minutes and 34 seconds per mile for 26.2 miles. Very few people could run that fast for 1 mile, let alone 26.2. It didn't seem possible. If you were like the Wallaces, which you probably weren't, you woke up before the crack of dawn to watch Kipchoge finish the race in Vienna to make history. And when I say the Wallaces, I mean Matt. I did not wake up that early to watch Kipchoge make history. We did record it, and later in the day, I got to see it and enjoy it. So I have a clip that I want to share with you of Kipchoge making history, so you can catch a glimpse of just how he did it. Just a couple minutes here of him finishing this race. Oh, man. It's powerful, right? I love watching people finish a race. He made history. No one thought the human body could do that, run a marathon in under 2 hours. And I love, this was just, they probably expected some crowd, but not like this, of seeing those people lining and cheering him on. But my favorite part, did you see the image there of his friends behind him? And talk about the role that they played, but watching them cheer him on and finish alongside of him is just, man, it's powerful. Now, he broke the barrier, no question about it. There's a couple aspects about this race that meant that it didn't qualify for an official world record, which I think is just silly in my very amateur, not runner perspective. But a couple of those factors were the fact that this was it was a closed course. It wasn't an open race. No one else was competing on this course that day except Kipchoge. And it actually was a specifically designed with not very many turns because that cuts down on, you know, time. That can impact the time that you have. Kind of a back and forth course in Vienna. They had an 8-day window in which they were scheduling this race. They were going to choose the day that had the best weather conditions. So the weather plays a factor, of course, in how well you perform. Right, so it was a controlled environment. He wore some special shoes with some technology from Nike. These are professional Nike runners, so not everybody has access to those shoes. But then finally, it was his pacing team. He had help in keeping the pace to meet this goal. You didn't see it in the clip that I shared, but there were cars that sort of went before him that had a line, that kind of projected down a line, a green laser line, to stay behind. Stay behind this line, or stay with this line, and you will keep pace. But he also had human pacers that you did see. A team of other Nike runners and teammates that were running this race with him, that would rotate in throughout the course of the marathon. Rotate in because no one else could run 26.2 miles going that fast, right? They had to rotate in. He's the only one in the world that can do that. Right, but they discovered this was not his first attempt at breaking this barrier, and in previous attempts, they had tried different formations, but discovered that the best formation for his pacing team was an inverted V, with two people just behind him or kind of close to his side. And this was to cut down the most amount of drag or wind resistance. You might think that that's not really that big of a deal, you know, for a runner. But when you're going as fast as they were, when you run as fast as Eliud Kipchoge, you create quite a bit of drag yourself, and just a couple percentage points over time can add up to minutes. When you're going 26.2 miles, it can really add up. So he had this team that took the brunt of that for him, right? But then also psychologist Dr. Michael Joyner says this, who has studied this, he's written books on especially breaking this barrier. He said, in addition to the drag, the team of pacers also helped alleviate some psychological pressure for Kipchoge. Dr. Joyner says there's a psychological price you pay for being the lead runner. So if you can have people surrounding you the whole time, setting the pace so you just have to sort of get in sync with them, you don't have to think about it, you just match their pace, it can be really helpful in sort of alleviating this mental weight of the race. This team of pacers, rotating in, constantly helping him stay on mark, played a huge role in helping him accomplish his goal by performing the best he possibly could in that moment. He could not have done it without them, which is why it didn't break the world record, right? Why it doesn't officially get the world record, but it's still a feat nonetheless that we never thought the human body could do this, and he did. This image of the power and support of those running alongside of you, alleviating some of that mental toll, right, the mental stress, because you're not alone in this race. When we talk about believing in the communion of saints, yes, we are referring to the great ancestors of faith who have died before us and who line the sides and still encourage and cheer us on. They finished the race, but they still encourage and cheer us on now. But it also refers to the witness of the living saints. We as Methodists believe that we participate in the communion of saints. So that includes those sitting here today. That includes you and me, those in the community of faith who are running alongside of us. It includes those alive and dead and in the future, the communion of saints. Those alongside of us who are also striving after Christ in faith, who encourage us to keep going, who alleviate some of that psychological toll, that remind us that we are not alone. There is nothing the enemy wants you to believe more than the fact that you might be alone, or how you're thinking or feeling is unique, is shameful. There's nothing the enemy would like for you to believe more than you're out there on your own running it by yourself. No, that's a lie. You are surrounded by living saints running alongside of you, taking the brunt of some of this with you, bearing one another's burdens so that we can run the best race we possibly can. The living saints. You see this also in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, articulating it this way, those who spur us on to love and good deeds, those running along with us who spur us on, who encourage us to love and good deeds. So scripture says, don't stop meeting together, but keep encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching, all the more as we continue to fix our eyes on Christ, to chase after him, and to approach him waiting for us at the right hand of the Father at the end of the race. All throughout the letters, Paul talks about greeting the saints, right, in Philippi and Ephesus, writing letters to these churches, addressing them as saints. I think we tend to think of saints as those holier than thou, nearly perfect in their earthly life, by their works of mercy, their works of piety, those that have passed away, a standard almost unattainable unless you were perfect and dead, right? Those are the saints. But no, the church, this place is a house of all sinners and saints, a place for people to come and struggle in faith, to find redemption and forgiveness and healing, and to keep going. I love the litany of the ancestors of faith that is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 right before we get to our passage. It begins with a therefore. So the great therefore of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is a summary of all of the list of the ancestors of by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Jacob, by faith even Rahab, listing out all of these ancestors of the faith for the people of Israel. to then say, therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, like Abraham and like Moses and like Sarah, right, and listing all the way out. But, you know, if we really look at some of the stories of those ancestors, what we find with God at work in their lives is that they were not perfect, but they had faith. What we find is that they were really part-time saints and part-time scoundrels, just like the rest of us. We are all a gathering of a house for sinners and saints. You are a part of the communion of saints, not because you are perfect, but because you have faith. Not some intellectual thing that we ascribe to, but a moving, breathing, living relationship, a dynamic trust and confidence, leaning on God with hope and assurance. You are a part of the communion of saints because you have faith. My high school small group leader at Middletown United Methodist Church was named Dana Gerber. And she is a living saint for me. She was then, but as I've seen, as I've continued to grow and now become a mother myself, she continues to be a living saint and witness in my life. Someone who informs and encourages my faith in Jesus Christ by her own love and example. When I graduated from high school, she actually gifted me with this devotion called Streams in the Desert. She was my high school small group leader in high school, right? And so when I graduated, she gifted me with this as I went off to college. I came across this as I moved all the boxes and books. I came across this devotion, and I read the inside cover and was reminded again of her witness. Part of what she wrote is this: I have found this book in the presence of the Master to be an encourager, an edifier, a comforter. I pray that you also may find spiritual nourishment in the pages of this simple volume, and know that I will be reading it daily with you and praying for you. In Christ, Dana. Something about that last part hit me when I discovered this book a couple months ago, rediscovered it. The fact that she was reading this alongside me daily and praying the words and promises of God and truth over me. Wow, she was running right alongside me as I stepped foot on that college, at that campus, University of Kentucky. Afraid, scared, alone, she was running right alongside me every step of the way. A living saint who read and prayed these words over me. The communion of saints includes those who have passed before us. They surround us now in encouragement, prayer, and witness. It also includes the living saints who run alongside us now, who help us be the best we possibly can. And that includes you and me. So who are you thankful for today? Who are you thankful for? Who are the saints that have gone before you, who still cheer you on now, whose witness and love still gives you encouragement? Or maybe that's a living saint, someone who's in that race with you, bearing your burdens with you. As we celebrate communion, part of your invitation will be to come forward and to light a candle. And as you light a candle, it'll be to take a moment to say a prayer of thanksgiving for that saint, whether living or dead, present here or surrounding us in the company of heaven. To take a moment to give thanks for that saint, for how they love and encourage you, and for their witness of following Christ through all things. Kind of a logistical part. They'll have some tapers that you'll recognize from Christmas Eve. So you'll be invited to take one of those, pick up a tea light, and light it that way. You could probably pass that taper behind you. That's how it went in the first service. But if you do want to put it down, you know, just blow it out first and lay it down. This morning might just be one big fire hazard, but that's okay. We are lighting it up with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And giving thanks for how God is moving in and through and among us as part of the communion of saints. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are, for that true for that truth, for how you do work and move among us. God, for that truth that someone here needs to hear, you are not alone, but we are surrounded. We are surrounded by love. We are surrounded by your presence. We are surrounded by our ancestors of the faith, and we are surrounded by one another. So Holy Spirit, would you come and help us to feel that presence as we commune with the saints, as we imagine the company of heaven, as we join with their song of praise and thanksgiving to you. God, thank you for the witnesses of those that you have called before us, who give us hope that there is a way to be faithful today in a world where it seems near impossible to follow after you, in a world that is so hurt and broken and in need of your witnesses, in need of your hands and feet. God, may we draw strength and encouragement this morning from those who have gone before us and who run alongside of us. And let us fix our eyes on you, the pioneer of our faith, as we chase after you and your goodness and your love and your promises. So come, Holy Spirit, now as we prepare to approach your table. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is always great to be in worship with you all. Maybe not always great to see yourself on video for the first time, but that's okay. 52 days, can you believe it? Check that, I counted a couple times. Like from today, 52 days. We have all kinds, where some of us are excited. We have all kinds of ways to respond to God's love, God's great love for each and every one of us. I hope you will consider a way to do that, to partner with us and this church. But above all, I hope that you have a wonderful week and remember that you are not alone. But we go before, God goes before and with us, and we are surrounded by a great crowd of spectators cheering us on and running alongside of us each step of the way. So I hope you have a great week. Go in peace and be the revolution.